Amen.
Let's turn in our Bible to St. John chapter 3, verse 1. I'd like to say thank you to Brother Tony and the church body for receiving us this weekend to come and minister the word of the Lord in these special meetings. Certainly count this a privilege to be numbered back here in Van Buren. And it's good to see my friend Brother Prater back there and Sister Pam. Long time, friends. Long time. Many, many years, Brother Prater. A lot of years. And Brother Claude, it's generally good to see you all. Good night, friends, as well. Amen. A lot of years, too. And good to see each one of you all here in the house of the Lord. We certainly look for the Lord to give us some wonderful, wonderful eating this weekend.
Amen.
The Word of God. Amen. I'd like to say thank you on behalf of my wife for your prayers. As most of you know, the baby is here. Little Jessica is here. And the doctor says she's doing real good. Weight's coming up like it's supposed to, and lungs and everything's just right and perfect. And, Sam was quite a bit rough, and I tried to talk her into it Wednesday, maybe just to take an extra pill or two to get over here to Van Buren, but she didn't think she could. So I'm sure you all understand, and we kind of feel almost like a gunslinger without your gun, without your wife sitting here. You know, it's almost like being in an old western and not having your six irons with you. You know, but I sure miss her when I don't get to travel with her. She's been such a friend to me, and I sure love my wife and thank God for it. I certainly appreciate your prayers. It was a very dangerous thing that happened with her. She went into a lot of high blood pressure numbers, a lot of stroke numbers, seizure numbers. The doctors were scared to death for about six straight days. It was just touch and go. They just kept pumping medicine into her to try to keep her numbers right. And but for the grace of God, she probably would have had a stroke, had a seizure, killed her, killed the baby. But everything was caught exactly right on time, just at the very moment that it needed to be caught. And we saw the Lord's hand from the very beginning. So thank God for that. I certainly appreciate you all praying. Amen. St. John chapter 3, verse 1. I'm going to take a series this weekend. And I don't know exactly what Brother Claude will have prepared tomorrow morning. I hope I'm not maybe out of the line of the thinking of the Holy Spirit, but I just was feeling led of the Lord as I just been praying and praying and praying and praying about this weekend, what direction to go. It just seemed like the Holy Spirit really dealt with my heart to preach on the Holy Ghost. Now, what you got to know about me is when I preach on the Holy Ghost, I'm not just going to say, there's a Holy Ghost and you need to get it. But I'm one of these guys that if I go into a house and somebody's given me this house and I don't know nothing about it, I'm going to look in the cupboards, I'm going to look under the pantry, I'm going to look every which way. So we're really going to try our best by the help of the Lord to dissect this subject this weekend and just pull it apart and look at it by the help of God. St. John chapter 3, verse 1. There was a man of the Pharisees named Nicodemus, the ruler of the Jews. Same came to Jesus by night and said unto him, Rabbi, we know that thou art a teacher come from God. For no man can do these miracles that thou doest, except God be with him. Isn't it amazing? They knew this, and yet it didn't change them.
Come on.
They could take one look at all of this happening, and yet it did nothing for their character, nothing for their attitude. They still had the same old attitude, even though they could recognize Jesus had it where it counted.
That's right.
Amen.
Right? Watch, he says, Jesus answered and said unto him, this is one thing I love about the Lord. He can diagnose a problem just like that. He doesn't go into a discussion with this man. He doesn't enter into a deeper debate with this man and say, well, why, and why didn't you? And he just goes right to the root of the problem. Except a man be born again, he cannot see the kingdom of God.
Right.
Nicodemus saith unto him, how can a man be born when he is old? Can he enter the second time into his mother's womb and be born? Jesus answered, verily I say unto thee, except a man be born of water and of the Spirit, he cannot enter into the kingdom of God. Now notice the two avenues Jesus uses. First, he says, see. Second, he says, enter. That which is born of the flesh is flesh. That which is born of the Spirit is spirit. Marvel not that I say unto thee, you must be born again. Amen. Let's pray together. Heavenly Father, we so thank you, Lord Jesus, for your word. We're certainly a privileged people, Heavenly Father, to be able to bow our heads, to look into the things of God. Lord Jesus, as I stand here, I realize I am but an instrument, an unworthy one at that. And Lord God, I feel so little around these great servants of God. Lord, as I look around the room tonight, and Lord, there's Brother Prater, Brother Tony, and Brother Claude, such great men that I feel so little being around them because, Lord, I know they love you and they serve a great purpose in this message. And Father, tonight it falls my lot that I would try to bring my little portion to this group of people, that by your Holy Spirit you could use me, I pray, that I could be an instrument that you could play through my life or work through my life or use me in some way, that, Lord, we could come closer to the great things that we need to get ready for the rapture. Lord Jesus, inside of our hearts tonight, our needs, no doubt, Father, we are asking that your Spirit would be mindful of us, that you would help us, that you would give us your strength and your favor as we look into your Word today. I pray that you would just move in this weekend services, Lord, and as we are opening the services tonight, Father, may we just settle in. May our hearts and our minds be settled down, that we can open our spirits and our thoughts, the channel of our thought, that we can be receptive to what you will give for us tonight. Lord Jesus, as I approach what may seem at first to be a regular subject that we've heard, I'm hoping and praying that if I can follow the mind that you've given me, that you will take us into the deeper sides of this to look deeper into it than what we've ever looked at before. I pray you will help us now, in Jesus' name, to be receptive and to be willing to put into flesh that which you'll give for us. In Jesus' name, amen. God bless you, saints. You may be seated. I find it amazing that people in the hour we're living in can look right at something supernatural, right at something true, and deny it ever so quickly. In the hour we're living in, there is a trend going around the ranks of Christendom and also around the message that for people to believe something, they've got to have proof, one proof after another, after another, after another. Then when they get the proof that they're seeking after, they still don't believe it.
That's right.
Which goes to prove to us that this real revelation of God doesn't come by proof, by scientific evidence. It doesn't come by those channels, but it must be by faith. Something that God reveals to us to be right. You see many times Jesus saying things such as, though one would be raised from the dead, yet they still can't believe. And it goes to prove to us that if they could scientifically prove this man was dead, now he's alive, they still don't believe it because they have to have faith inside their heart to know what's right and what's real.
Exactly right.
Now, we look at the Lord Jesus and we realize that this question that come to him from Nicodemus, this, you know, Master, we know that you are, and we know this, and we know that. He was used to dealing with these kind of issues out of the men of his day. The leaders that were supposed to be the custodians of truth had a tendency to lean to their own understanding and to what they thought, and would constantly fuss back and forth with the Lord Jesus about these subjects of eternity and the kingdom of God and so forth. So Jesus was well acquainted with their attitude, with their approach, and the way that they viewed the scriptures and they viewed him. As a matter of fact, there was no way in the world that Jesus would have ever been deceived as to what their real opinion was of him, because they knew beyond, he knew beyond a shadow of a doubt, rather, that those people thought he came from an illegitimate birth, that he was no way could be the virgin-born Son of God, on and on and on we go. But Jesus, having the answer because he was the Word, he knew how to answer and respond to these people whenever they would come, as Nicodemus does here. And when Nicodemus says, Master, if you'll notice now, he doesn't say, I know, but he says, we know. Now, this man, of course, being a man of affluence and a man of reputation, he was not just bringing Jesus a message from himself, but he was identifying that around his ranks or his groups, there were people that knew what kind of man that Jesus was. That he was a supernatural man, that he was a man of faith, that he was a man that could make things live that they couldn't touch at all. And yet they still turn right around and crucify this man and get him in Pilate's hall, tell all sorts of lies on him, get him in front of the high priest, on and on and on. Amen. So Jesus then begins to tell them the answer to what their knowledge was going to actually pan out to be. That no matter how much they knew, that there was a higher way for them to move into the kingdom of God. Now we realize that everybody sitting here tonight, you've got a brain. At least we hope you do. Yes. And we're sure praying. My brother-in-law Chris tells me all the time that he's got scientific evidence to to prove that he's got one. When he was a boy, he had brain surgery, and they took a picture of his brain and keeps it around just in case somebody wonders. Yeah. And we realize that most all of us have to take in the Word through a natural channel of some way. Now, we realize that when the Word comes, that it must come through the womb of your mind first, and then by the Holy Spirit, then move it down into the soul, where revelation is then processed into your soul. That's bringing the new birth. But by the mind, we realize that your thoughts and the channel of your thought, the Holy Spirit will use that to open up your soul so that it can move that certain channel in a way that it can drop the Holy Spirit down inside of that soul. Now we realize that a person with knowledge alone will never be able to punctuate the Word of God. They will never be able to say truly amen from their soul. Now they might say amen from their mouth, as we know. We've heard many of them down through the years. Oh, I believe it, I believe. You believe God sent a prophet? You better believe I believe God sent a prophet. And in 6 months, a year, 6 years, whatever it is, and they're back out in the world doing God knows what. Why? Because it was just from their mouth, like these men were here, and it never really dropped into the channel of the soul. Now, watch this. I love how Brother Graham says this. Unfailing realities of the living God. Excuse me. Brother Graham said, the Holy Spirit comes today in like manner to present God to man. But man wants to go to church. Now, what an odd remark. God wants to present man to God. And God wants to present himself to man. But man just wants to go to church. Right. He just wants, he says, to drown his thinking. He said, because he cannot fathom spiritual things or supernatural things. Right. He said, we must learn that God is not known by intellectual conception. Right. Now here we find Brother Bam telling us that the channel of this new birth must come through the womb of your mind, and yet it cannot stop there. It must move beyond human reasoning, the human element. It must move beyond, oh, I can see it, I can figure it out. Don't you understand that's what's got a lot of these people out here today?
That's right.
Why that they've left this message? Because they were leaning upon their own intellectual conception, come on somebody, to be able to explain whether this message was right. And you will never be able to explain this message intellectually. It must be believed from the heart. God didn't send Brother Branham down here so we could scientifically prove who he was. Now, God done it, God can do it, and God can do it all day long and day and night. He can prove that this message is right scientifically, but we're not living by the channel of science. We are not living by the channel. Even a certain message preacher in a certain area spending all of his time scientifically proving the message. Don't you understand? That's intellectual. That's the intellectual channel of the mind and not the womb of the soul producing the baptism of the Holy Ghost. Man will never know God this way right here.
Amen.
He'll never understand him. He'll never figure it out. Figure out speaking in tongues and interpretation of tongues for me. A man that's never heard a language before in his entire life. A woman that's never understood the words coming out of another person's mouth. And God supernaturally turned their ears on, where in a moment's time they can learn a language they've never heard before.
Right.
Scientifically prove, explain it to me. You can't do it. Why? You're moving into a higher realm than just intellectual. Oh, praise the Lord. Take a man's eyes and sees visions. And prove that man out that he sees visions and so forth. And take that man and place him out there. Scientifically prove that his eyes actually saw the future. Or even saw what was in the mind of God. Saw what was in the past even. Scientifically prove that that man could see one thing. You can't do it scientifically. So it must be on a higher order then that we receive this supernatural of God.
Amen.
Oh, hallelujah. Hallelujah. I want to tell you tonight that if you are as dumb as a stump, if you are so ignorant you can't get two and two and make four, you can still have such a supernatural experience with Amen. Almighty God that Amen. You can back the devil up every day of your life.
Amen.
Thank you, Lord Jesus. But Master, we know that thou art a teacher. We know knowledge. They had such an understanding of what he was.
Yes, sir.
And yet it didn't change him, Brother Brady.
Right.
It didn't affect them. It didn't change them. It didn't influence their life to say, oh my God, this is the Messiah. This is the man that Jesus, they're standing before our eyes. They didn't even do like that little woman at the well done when she first heard him speak. Sir, I perceive that you are a prophet. She didn't just stop with that intellectual revelation that he was a prophet, because to her it was more than intellect.
her mind. She said, we know that when Messiah comes, she already knew it. She already knew. She was trained, Brother Ramsey, to know what was Messiah would look like and how he would show up and what sign he would bring with him. She already knew it. But when knowledge superseded and knowledge run to the end of its course, revelation took its place.
Yes, sir.
Sir, I perceive that thou art a prophet. Amen. To her, that was more than just something she had been taught from a girl coming up.
Right.
It was something so supernatural, there wasn't enough devils out of hell to take it out of her heart.
That's good.
Oh, I'm going to tell you, get it right. There ain't enough devils out of hell to take it out of your heart either.
Amen. That's right.
Praise the Lord. Oh, but what if somebody laughs? What if somebody makes fun? What if they prove that the bridge is this? What if it doesn't matter what they prove to a real child of God? Their proof is a bunch of lies anyhow.
Amen.
Amen. Amen. Oh, my. Brother Ram says, God is not known by intellectual conception, but God is known by the new birth. He is known by the Holy Ghost, not by any other way. Jesus, the Bible plainly quoted, no man can call Jesus the Christ only by the Holy Ghost. He said, and if you've never received the Holy Ghost, listen now, you don't know that he is Christ.
Right.
So they can say, but I know he is. But if you have not received the Holy right. Ghost, you don't know it.
That's right.
You might know it, but you don't know it.
Amen.
You might have knowledge here, but you really don't have a spiritual revelation of who he was. Because in order for you to be a God man yourself, you've got to have a revelation he was a God man.
Amen.
Oh, thank you, Lord. Notice he says that's the only way that he reveals himself. He goes on to tell us, you are not converted until you receive the Holy Ghost.
Right, brother.
Now, I don't care what a bunch of message preachers around this message say. It does not matter. You could raise your hand and say, I believe God sent a prophet. You could cut your teeth on the back of message pews. But until you receive the Holy Ghost, whereby realizing you were a sinner and you need a Savior and that you are lost and going to hell, unless the Spirit of God moves inside of your heart and forgives you of your sins and makes you a new creation, it doesn't matter what anybody says. Until that happens, you're not converted.
Right. Right. Amen.
Maybe some of y'all didn't realize that's the way it goes, but that's the way it goes. The word's amen in case y'all forgot it.
Amen,
amen, children.
Amen.
We've got so many interpretations in this hour of how to get saved. It's just as simple as it's always been.
Amen.
You must have faith in God's finished work at Calvary. Listen, a person off the street could come in and read the Bible and find out that Jesus died for their sins and God will save them. But we're talking about something higher than just being saved now. We're talking about Christ actually killing out that old man, that old soul, that old nature down on the inside of you. It must die.
Amen.
That's right.
You're not converted till you receive the Holy Ghost. The Bible said, after Peter had both been saved and sanctified and given power to cast out unclean spirits and preach the gospel. Good Lord. What if you'd been sitting there hearing all this preach? Hearing Peter get up there and have a great revival and all kinds of demons get cast out. And yet you know this about Peter. He doesn't know it, but you know it. Sit back and fold your arms and tell some of them first century Christians he hadn't got the Holy Ghost yet.
Man.
You know what they'd have thought? They'd have thought you was absolutely out of your mind. But he didn't. Not yet. He had partaken of Jesus' ministry. But now tells the church in the book that Jesus had shared his ministry with them. But they was not converted yet. They knew about miracles. They knew about supernatural. They could absolutely manifest any great supernatural thing, yet still didn't have the Holy Ghost.
Amen.
Wonder how close it's coming today, friends.
Yep.
Got people set writing message churches that can do everything that the book says for them to do, and yet they still ain't even converted. That's preachers too. Woo, come on, somebody. I'm not talking about just lay people. There's some preachers need to get the Holy Ghost too. Watch now. Oh my, listen, he says the night of his betrayal. He said a man, he said, that was doing all these great things. He said, but when you're converted, he said, strengthen your brother. And no man is truly converted until he's been changed. Dies to himself and the Holy Spirit has control of that person. Notice again in the Holy Ghost series, he says, what is the Holy Ghost given for? Paragraph 51. He said, now to show after a while that it's just those that are filled with the Holy Ghost that will go into the rapture.
Amen.
So what's going to happen to a lot of these people that have just an intellectual conception, Brother Claude? They're going to be left sitting here when the rapture comes.
Right.
I know we can get into the technical part of that and say, oh, the rapture, but I'm talking about when the change of the body arrives, they'll be left here. Because if they're not born again, they're not going in a rapture that is only intended for the born again.
Amen.
They'll be left sitting here. Oh, you say, but I quote, but it doesn't matter what they quote or how much they join a message church. They must be born again.
Amen. Absolutely the truth.
Now notice the two avenues that Jesus spoke to Nicodemus. That first he tells us that in verse 3, a man cannot see the kingdom of God.
Right.
Then in verse 5, he cannot enter into the kingdom of God. So you notice there are these two avenues in which a man actually enters into, or by revelation sees the kingdom of God. Now there are those that we will find that will see. They will have a knowledge or an understanding of certain supernatural things. And Paul tells us in Hebrews 6 that they will even taste of the powers of the world to come. But they'll come right to the border of this that Jesus spoke of. And they'll fail to move on into it.
Right.
Do you realize that no matter how good of people they might be, when Christ looks at them, they are reprobates in His presence. Why? Because they had the opportunity to go forward and they refused to do it.
Uh-oh.
I'm going to tell you something, children. This may not move you, but I'm going to tell you. If you get my hip pocket for about 6 months, you'd find out where we are around the ranks of this message. There's a lot of people in churches that can sit down and hear everything preached and sit there and nod and they take notes and they'll smile and they'll say amen every now and then. And yet nothing in their soul has ever changed. This message has never affected them until they are different on the inside. Oh God, is anybody hearing me tonight? This message has got to be more to us than just a new revelation. It must make a change. Oh God.
Amen.
It must make a change on the inside of our heart.
Absolutely.
If it doesn't put love and joy and peace and godliness in our heart and make us gentlemen, make us ladies, what good does it do to have a new revelation?
That's right.
Amen. Well, Brother Ram might be on the curtain of time, friends. And the angel of the Lord said to him, nothing but perfect love will ever enter this place. When he come back, he didn't say in adoption, the third part where he makes the statement, thus saith the Lord, nothing but a perfect doctrine will get you there. It will take a perfect revelation to get you there. Guess what? Ain't a one of us sitting here tonight ever going to have a perfect anything. The only thing perfect about us is the Holy Ghost perfecting us little by little. I believe we'll be surprised when our bodies are changed. How many things we just didn't have right. Lord, y'all getting quiet as the Presbyterians. Amen. How many things that we think we've got it all figured out, but what we figure out is different than Revelation, children. Notice he must see it first and then enter into the kingdom of God. So a man that is born again will see it, understand what the kingdom of God is, and also he will enter into, not just stand at the border and say, oh, it looks good to me, it looks like it's right. These people standing there at the border of Hebrews 6, they had enough influence of the Holy Spirit on their life that they could actually look into supernatural things and have faith in what they were seeing. But they did not enter far enough until they could actually be born again and permit an entrance into the kingdom of God.
Yes, sir.
That's why they can sit on any preacher in this message and sit there and figure him out while he's figuring you out. Amen. I've had many of them while I'm preaching. I'll say 1957, 1958. What is that? Intellectual revelation.
Yes, sir.
Praise the Lord. Now, notice now, I love how Brother Ben says this. He says, again, he said, that's right. He said, the rest of the dead live not for the space of 1,000 years. He said, just Holy Spirit-filled people all went in the rapture. Notice St. John chapter 16, verse 12, verse 13. Now, let's look here what Jesus said about what this Holy Spirit will do once it moves into us. Jesus said, I have yet many things to say unto you, but you cannot bear them now. Why? Because the things Jesus had to say to them went beyond the intellectual.
Amen. Amen.
Do you realize for 3.5 years, everything Jesus had preached to them, Brother Clark, was upon the intellectual revelation that they could comprehend. And look what a mess they made out of that. They just kept fussing over who was the greatest preacher of the message.
Right.
Kept fussing who had the biggest church, the biggest campaign. Yeah. Come on now.
Amen.
That's what intellect does for the human mind. And Jesus said, there's a whole lot of stuff I'd love to tell you, boys, but I just can't tell you because you just ain't ready to hear it.
Come on. He said it,
bro. That's right. Oh, glory. Verse 13. Howbeit when he, not they.
Come on.
If they believe in more than one God, they're going to have to argue with Jesus. He didn't say they. He said when he. Oh, hallelujah. When he, the Spirit of truth, not the spirit of shouting, not the spirit of gifts,
right,
but the Spirit of truth.
Amen.
Right. Amen.
Why? Because except a man be born of water and of spirit.
That's right.
So what is the water? Paul tells us the water is the washing of the water by the word. So a man is born actually by the word. But how was he born? Not intellectually now, but something deeper than just an intellectual absorbing of what Jesus taught. Notice again, he said, when the Spirit of truth has come, he will guide you into all truth. Now the word that he uses here for guide is to lead one's way, to be a guide or to be a teacher or to give guidance unto. So he, the Spirit of truth, will guide you into the Baptist Church or Methodist or Presbyterian.
No.
But he'll guide you where?
All truth.
All truth. Don't you understand one reason why you cannot point your fingers out in them organizations and say not one of them were born again the Spirit of God? Is because none of them can fulfill this scripture right here. Do you mean to tell me a man's born again sitting in a church with a woman preaching?
Come on.
He's born again, yet he smokes cigarettes? Come on now.
Right.
If it is the Holy Ghost, then it'll do what? Lead him, Brother Claude, into all truth?
That's right.
How can they say they've even got the Holy Ghost and have even been born again, and yet they deny Brother Branham's message? They deny the existence of a seventh angel? Come on now, church.
Right.
They don't have the Holy Ghost. They've got an anointing. They've got a rain falling on them. But once you are, oh, glory to God, once he moves on the inside, he will guide you into all truth.
All truth.
Amen.
Yes.
That's right, friends. If they really get it like they're supposed to get it, you don't have to worry about them getting the right revelations. He will guide them into all truth.
That's what he said.
That's why I believe a child of God, I know the elected cannot be deceived. That don't mean they can't get stumbled up and tripped up for a while.
Right.
Believing things maybe they ought not believe, but if they've got this in their soul, there ain't no way they can stay there.
Right.
Tell me a man's born again the Holy Ghost, a woman born again the Holy Ghost, sitting around 40 years waiting on Brother Man to put up a tent.
Come on.
Something's wrong.
Right. That's right. Yeah.
The longer I preach, quieter y'all get. This is true anyhow. Tell me a man's got the Holy Ghost living 45 years of polygamy.
Right.
When Brother Ram said polygamy is adultery.
Right.
Amen.
Amen. Amen. Amen. We're talking about all truth. Tell me somebody's got the Holy Ghost and could hold a grudge for 30 years against another brother or sister.
Yeah.
Something's wrong. All truth will be the manifestation of whether or not they've got the Holy Ghost or not. If you want to know if a man's got it, look and see how his attitude is toward the word.
Amen.
You read a man a quote or a woman a quote and told them something in the Bible and they kind of boil upon you like a bullfrog eating buckshot, you know right there something is wrong with what they say they have.
Amen.
You're telling the truth.
I believe this message. Well, what about these quotes? They were before 63, so...
That's right.
Surely they do.
I believe that they are before 63. There are things that Brother Brown had to correct, Brother Brown had to straighten out. But you know what, friends? I have enough grace on this prophet of God to read everything that Brother Brown said. Because I had a great, great man of God teach me some time ago that if you're going to say what Brother Brown said, say it all.
Amen.
Tell the parts he messed up. Tell the parts he had it right.
Amen.
Tell every part. If you're going to do it, whistle it, whatever, but do it. Tell it all when you say it.
Amen. That's right, brother.
People, I got the Holy Ghost, and deny one word of the Bible.
Right. Come on.
Well, God's supernatural. Oh, in a certain way.
Right.
Something's wrong.
Right.
Because he will lead you into all truth.
All truth.
Amen. Glory.
You say a man's got to be born again. You see, mommy and daddy were putting the token over. So you've got a better idea than Jesus does, I guess.
Come on. Say that again.
Huh? Yep. Brother Adam said that you can place your token over them, but that doesn't make them bride.
Right.
To be bride and go on the rapture, they've got to have the Holy Ghost.
Amen.
And the Holy Ghost don't come through grandma and grandpa and pedigrees and lineage. Come on now. You can believe for them. You can have confidence. And maybe at the day of judgment, God might grant them life to live outside the city. But if they don't get the Holy Ghost, they won't be bride.
Amen. Amen, brother.
My prayers didn't make me bride. Your prayers won't make anybody else bride. Ooh, I hit a sore spot. But that's good. Rip that old scab off and let the Holy Ghost heal that thing up.
Yes.
Exactly right. People living in adultery, cussing, lying, shooting, snorting, tearing on, doing everything else in the world. Going out and living, doing all kinds of ungodliness. Oh, but mommy's got her token over me. That's the only thing keeping them from going to the insane institution too.
Right.
But that doesn't make them bride.
That's right.
Notice, he will guide you into all truth. For he shall speak not of himself. Oh, but listen. Whatsoever he shall hear, that shall he speak. For he will show you things to come. Now, how much of a parallel it is between these words and then when you go to the book of Revelation. When he says, and he that hath an ear, let him hear what the Spirit says unto the churches. So do you see what Jesus is saying? That Jesus is not speaking of just the corporal body of himself, but he is speaking of the revelation of who he was.
Amen.
And when he preaches, if you've got the Holy Ghost, when he preaches, he hears. That's why the Holy Ghost filled person can say amen to every word of God, because it really ain't these ears doing the listening.
Right.
Oh, hallelujah! Yeah. But it's Christ on the inside. He's the one that hears the message.
Right.
And whether your brain agrees with it or not, he's on the inside saying amen, amen, amen. That's why you shouldn't get scared from time to time whenever your brain disagrees with what you're hearing preached. See what he's hearing.
Come on.
If he's hearing the word, Brother Tim, and he can say amen to that, just keep right on marching right on. Forget what your brain has to say.
Amen.
Oh, hallelujah. Notice in Matthew chapter 15, verse 7. Ye hypocrites, well did Isaiah prophesy of you, saying, this people draweth nigh unto me with their mouth. Watch close. They're actually drawing nigh unto Jehovah.
Sure.
Even so much as coming to the border.
Absolutely.
They'll come so close that God will even recognize. Think of it. That they're drawing nigh unto him. He said they draw nigh by their mouth and they honor me with their lips. Now if this was good enough, then right here Jesus should have said, and thank God for it.
Come on, man.
Praise the Lord for it.
That's right.
But it didn't stop there. You know why? Because it must be deeper than that for you and I.
Right.
You believe this, friends?
Amen.
Notice he said, but their heart is far from me. Now watch now. In vain they do worship me.
Come on.
Teaching for doctrines the commandments of men. So these people were worshiping. They were teaching or preaching, we would say. They were drawing nigh. Well, who does this sound like to me?
Come on, brother.
In a process of time, Cain built an altar.
Right. Come on.
Brother Adam said he had the same faith that Abel did. He had the same type of approach. He worshiped just the same exact way. There was one difference. There was no bleeding heart on his altar, but there was a bleeding heart on Abel's altar.
That's right.
The heart is what bleeds out the blood. The heart is what houses that blood. And when that heart was ripped out, the blood spewed. Don't you see the difference?
Amen.
A man eats fruit with his lips.
That's right.
But the heart is the house for the blood.
Amen.
So when God looked down on Cain's altar, what did he see? vain worship done by lip service.
That's right.
Oh, it might finally metabolize and work to the heart. Sure, eventually, every now and then, sometimes, even a blind squirrel finds a nut for him. Every now and then, sometimes these guys, they hit, miss, and hit. I don't want to make the rapture based on a hit, miss.
Right.
We want thus saith the Lord.
Amen.
We don't want nothing at all. But they've got this idea. Look at Cain's altar. His mouth. Oh, Jehovah. Oh, great Elohim. He wouldn't have identified him in the past tense form of his name, the great eternal. They would have called him Jehovah. Why? Because that was the dispensation that God had moved into when Adam and Eve were placed on the earth. The man tells us in adoption, it was no more Elohim, but it was Jehovah. Why? He was dwelling with his family. Do you realize what Cain was saying when he came to him and said, oh, Jehovah? He was calling God his father. And he was asking God to call him his son.
Man.
No wonder God looked down at him and said, do like your brother and everything will be fine.
Right.
Don't do like him. Sin lies at the door.
Right.
God knew already that that low down ungodly thing would have never obeyed the moving of the Spirit of God. He already knew that he wasn't going to have the right kind of altar. Chance to do what? Show and manifest the deeds that was on the inside of his heart.
True. That's good.
Oh, thank you, Lord. St. John 14, verse 16 now. Notice this. St. John 14, verse 16. Another familiar scripture to us. I'll pray the Father and he shall give you another comforter, that he may abide with you forever. I don't mind telling you, I'm glad it says it that way.
Amen.
I tell you, there's a lot of times that you're not so sure that you know everything's going the right way, but these scriptures like this give you confidence to know he's always with us, never leaves us, and never forsakes us. Aren't you glad, friends?
Amen.
Oh, praise the Lord. Notice even the Spirit of truth. Now watch now what Jesus does. The Spirit of truth whom the world cannot receive. Now don't you see what he's doing? He is actually now embodying the Spirit of truth. Where? In himself.
Right.
He's giving us a foreshadow of where the Spirit of truth is going to be. In human vessels. Now when he comes to this other part of St. John, he speaks about himself as another something coming from the outside, external. But when it comes here, he moves internal.
Amen.
Yes. Oh, glory to God.
Amen.
Oh, thank you, Lord. I believe that's a lot of the way Christians are today. They keep looking for something external. External. Let me tell you, this thing ain't out there. It's right here inside of your heart.
Amen.
You want to move closer to God? It's right here is the answer.
Amen. Exactly right.
Praise the Lord. Notice moving from the external to the internal. Now he is saying they can't even see him. What a ridiculous remark to some of them carnal people. They're looking right at him. Looking right at Jesus. No wonder they wanted to kill this man. He is not only calling himself God, but he's calling himself the very essence of truth.
Yes, sir.
No matter how much they listened and heard what he had to say, they still didn't believe him. And he finally got so strong with him, he said, I am the way, I am the truth, and I am the life.
Amen.
Friends, think what you want to, but I believe this bride is coming to an hour to where she's going to be able to say the very same things that Jesus did. I am the bride. I am the mercy seat. I am the throne of grace. If you want mercy, you've got to come to the bride.
That's right.
So,
amen.
A man making himself God. They'll say the same thing about this bride, but it didn't change it being true for Jesus, and it won't be changing it being true for us.
That's right.
Oh, hallelujah. It's the truth then. It's the truth now.
Yes, sir.
Pride is God's throne seat of mercy.
Yes, it is.
Yes.
And in just a little while, she'll also become God's throne seat of judgment.
That's
as well,
right.
too.
Absolutely.
Judgment begins where? House of God.
Right.
Well, somebody's got to be there to preach it. You can't just set a tape recorder up there and expect that tape recorder
That's
to hit
right.
all of your daily problems.
Right.
Come on now. It takes some of these 5'8", 5'9", 6'2" preachers sticking their finger in your face. You say, well, the preacher ain't got nothing to do with my Holy Ghost. You should have said as far as you know, because you're about to get your doctrine changed tonight.
That's
right. Amen. That's right. Notice the spirit of truth in the world cannot see because it seeth him. Not it, but him. A person. Neither knoweth him, but, oh, I love this.
Amen.
You know him.
Yes.
For he dwelleth with you. Look what he's doing. He's moving beyond the external. And he's saying, y'all want to know where the spirit of truth is? You're looking at it. I've been here with you all along. Why does that shake us? You know why? Because we're still too attached to what we see in this flesh out here. This flesh is not the absolute of my life. This flesh is not my testimony. The deeds of this flesh is not the ultimate of my life. The ultimate of my life is that converted soul in there full of the Holy Ghost. That's what Jesus is looking at.
Amen.
And it shall be in you. I will not leave you comfortless, but I will come unto you. Does that mean Jesus is going to come down and use a shrink ray and crawl up inside everybody's heart and tuck down in there like a little baby? He's going to come in a way that they'll never even understand him. Because he'll come in the way that the wind blows. And only he that's looking for the wind to blow will get it.
Come on.
There have been a lot of weather watchers and a lot of storm chasers, but that's one wind I want to keep my eyes on.
Amen.
Glory to God. Wherever it goes, I want to go with it.
Yeah.
Oh my, he said, in a little while the world will see me no more, but ye shall see me. Because I live, ye shall live also. Now listen to me. People without the Holy Ghost cannot see God no matter how much you prove it to them.
Right.
It's impossible. To see him, Jesus said, you must be born again. So if they're not born again, they'll never understand it, nor will they ever see it. You're wasting your time trying to force them to get it.
Right.
Come on.
Amen.
Oh, but one of these days, what if they're bride? How long does it take for that to work?
Come on.
Person sits in a message church for 20 years, still sitting around believing they don't know, not even sure, Brother Barron, it's Malachi 4, something's wrong, friend. But I said, when that woman met that eternal life, said, right quick it come to life. It will do something to you once you meet it.
That's right.
People sitting around messing church, well, I'm not sure if my man's a prophet or not. I'm bride. I'm going. Not according to Jesus, you ain't.
Right.
You say, but I don't have to receive Brother Brown to be bride, don't you? Did you have to receive Moses to get out of Egypt?
Yes, you did.
Did you have to receive Noah to get on the ark?
Yes, you did.
And if God sends a messenger, you need him to get in the rapture.
Amen.
Amen.
That's right.
Did you need Jesus on Calvary to get free from your sins?
Yes, sir.
He was a prophet, remember?
Yeah.
Moses said God would raise up a prophet like unto me. He was the God of all prophets, but he was a prophet.
Amen. That's right.
And for these bunch of intellectuals out there to say the law and the prophets were to John, the law and the prophets were to John. There are no more prophets after John the Baptist.
Come on.
Well, then they're saying they don't believe Jesus was the Messiah to come then.
That's right. Come on.
Because to deny his prophetic office was to deny he's the Messiah.
Come on.
Romans chapter 10, verse 13. Now, watch this now. Oh, here we go. All y'all that don't like preachers, I'll excuse you for a few minutes. Go to the bathroom, get a drink of water. Step outside, take a call. Might be a little tough on some of y'all that maybe don't care for preachers too much, but... You know, I got to read this as part of the Bible, Brother Tony.
Amen.
I can't cut it out or black it out and stuff like that. It's amazing because I black it out one Bible, I go buy another one, it's right there all over again. Romans chapter 10, verse 13. For whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. And all the Baptists said, yeah, that's right, go get him.
What they said,
come on. Keep reading.
Yeah, come on.
Keep reading.
Yes, sir.
Right. To stop at this verse, you are only dealing with the St. John 3:16 group.
Yeah, come on.
The bride is not St. John 3:16.
That's right. Yeah.
Right. You say, what? She's not whosoever will.
Come on. Right.
Jesus said, whosoever will, let him come. The bride is not whosoever will. Come on now, children. She is the absolute essence and elected and foreknown and predestinated out of the very hand of God.
Yeah.
Her name is already wrote on his palms.
Yes,
oh, praise the Lord. She is not whosoever will. She is predestinated, chosen, special class of people.
Exactly.
So we preach just this. Whosoever call on the name of the Lord? Whosoever call on the name of the Lord? But keep reading. Because remember, Jesus said, when He, the Spirit of truth, comes, He's going to lead you into all truth.
Amen.
Some of y'all didn't think you could do that by yourself, did you? Oh, bless your heart. Shame on you. You should have known better than that. Verse 14. How then shall they call on Him in whom they have not believed? And how shall they believe on Him of whom they have not heard? Glory to God. Send them tapes after let the tapes. Wait a minute. Wait. Let's take Paul's idea first and let's work with yours. And how shall they hear without a preacher?
Yes, sir.
Yes. Right.
Y'all still want to have the Holy Ghost, right?
Amen.
Be led in all truth?
Amen.
Now, if you don't believe in this, you don't have the Holy Ghost.
Right.
Y'all are usually quiet, but you're really quiet now. If they don't believe in a preacher, they do not have the Holy Ghost. They can say all they want to. Oh, I got it. But if they sit around and they deny the existence of a fivefold ministry, they do not have the Holy Ghost.
Amen.
Saith the Word.
Amen.
That ain't my idea. It's this idea of the Word of God, where Paul said, if an angel comes and preaches in their culture, let him be cursed.
Right.
This is God's idea of those that have the Holy Ghost.
Exactly right.
Good they preaching. Believe in preachers.
Yes, sir.
You might need me to help you? Amen.
Amen.
You say, no. We're not basing this on your idea. We're basing this on what the Word said He would do when He came as the Spirit of truth.
That's right. Amen.
Where do you think these men get the ideas that they preach to? Surely you don't think we're so smart and we're so intellectual that we're so, we got it all figured out. We get up here and our mind is just so sharp, like a steel trap, we just put it all together. You're crazy. You say, Brother Ben, are you like that? You've got a little college. Do you think I'm an idiot? I'm not dumb enough to stand up here and try to profess that I've come up with all this on my own. It's He, the Spirit of truth. Come on, somebody. It's He, the Spirit of truth. Tell me how I would even know what some of your most private needs are. And yet the Holy Ghost can take a man's lip and go right down the avenue of what you need.
Come on,
it's not that man, not as intellectual.
That's right.
It's He, the Spirit of truth.
That's right.
Working through this channel right here.
Yeah.
How can they hear except they have a preacher? That's a man said to Philip. Understand what you read? He said, how can I except somebody explain it to me? He had more sense than 50% of the people in this message. We've got sheep all around this message trying to lead themselves. I don't need no pastor. I don't need no evangelist. I don't need no teacher. I don't need no prophet. I don't need no apostle. Bless God. All I need is them tapes and them books. So I guess this was only for Paul's age, I suppose. This is only for Martin, Columba, Luther. And we get to Laodicea. And God says, okay, this scripture is now expired. Now it's like bad milk or bad eggs. We're going to throw it out. It doesn't apply to Laodicea. It's amazing to me how people that don't believe in preachers don't realize that Paul said Jesus was a preacher himself.
Amen, brother.
He said he was a minister, a preacher of righteousness.
That's right.
So to not be believing in a preacher means you don't believe in Jesus.
Exactly.
Verse 15, and here's a deeper key to them preaching too. And how shall they preach except they've got 15 computers and concordances?
No,
ain't it. Oh, I got quote books. I got... No, no.
Come on.
They've got to be sent. By whom? I'd like to ask you. Who sends these men?
Yeah.
The Spirit of truth does.
Amen. Come on.
Glory to God. Who was it that sent Philip down there, that eunuch? Who was it that translated him out of there? The Spirit of truth. That's who.
Amen.
Amen. Amen. Notice now, I love it, says... As it is written, how beautiful are the feet of them that preach the gospel of peace. There ain't a pretty thing on us, brothers, except for our feet. The Bible said so. They bring glad tidings of good things. But they have not all obeyed the gospel, for us said, Lord, who hath believed our report.
Yep.
Now you take this scripture where he brings us in. The other part of the scripture is, to whom is the arm of the Lord revealed? Well, you know what's on the end of an arm, don't you? A hand. How many fingers do you have? 5. Apostles, prophets, teachers, evangelists, and pastors. If you want to know how the arm of the Lord is revealed, you've got to go first to the shoulders. Because the head comes to the shoulders, which is his government. And in that right hand, there were 7 stars.
Right.
And that arm holding 7 stars, they get the light first, and then they pass that light down to them 5-fold officers sitting there waiting for the revelation to come from the messenger of their age.
Right.
Right.
Amen.
So how do the people get it? They get it coming from God, the Spirit of Truth, down to the messenger of the age.
Amen.
And then the messenger tells them what they need to hear.
Yes, sir.
That's why we must stay with the message. Preachers that are scared to death get up and call Brother Bram's name and read quotes. I wonder if they even understand what this means.
That's exactly.
Oh, I'd be afraid to stumble people saying Brother Bram's name. They don't say Paul's.
Yeah. Right.
Don't mention Jesus.
Right.
Don't mention any other God sent man that God ever sent to the earth. Let's just make it fair and let's just take all the names out of it. Well, somebody said that you need to get saved. And somebody said you need to get the Holy Ghost. And somebody said there's going to be a rapture.
Come on, brother.
God ain't that ignorant.
Right.
And we shouldn't be either.
That's right.
We should not be ashamed of those who God has sent to us.
Amen.
I'm not ashamed of God called pastors. I'm not ashamed of God called evangelists. I'm not ashamed of God called messengers.
Amen.
If they're sent by God, it doesn't matter to me what their name is. I'm identified with them because I'm a part of this.
Amen.
Oh, but listen. So faith cometh by hearing. Well, that's a popular one quoted in the message, but faith comes by hearing, hearing by the word of God. So, okay, remind me again. How did they hear?
Come on.
Preaching.
Preaching.
Has to be.
Listen, brethren, us God called men, we ought not be ashamed of what God's called us to do in this last day. We've got a harder job now than any other person preaching the gospel in 6,000 years of man's history. We are carrying the burden of 6,000 years of generational curses and generational sins and things that have come all the way through the church. The prophet tells us, Unity, One God, One Church, 1958, he said that when one age would cast out a devil, another age would come in with more devils. And it would multiply, he said, until it got to the last age, as Jesus said, it would be 8 times worse. That's where we're living.
Yeah.
Brother Bram just dealt with Pentecost and gifts and some of them things that he dealt with, but we're way beyond where Brother Bram was at. Because many of them spirits that was back there in that day, they were
that's
in their
right.
infancy when Brother Bam was here.
That's right.
But you preacher brothers, do you realize, brethren, what we're dealing with? We're dealing with mature demons.
That's right.
Mature spirits that can quote this word better than you ever thought about quoting it.
Absolutely.
How are we going to keep it rightly divided? How are we going to keep it straight for the people? He, the Spirit of Truth.
Amen. Oh. Hallelujah.
The Word of Life, the Word of Christ living inside of our heart. By the back, a man don't even have a right to get behind here unless he's met the Spirit of Truth on the backside of the desert.
Amen.
Amen.
Amen. That's right.
Romans chapter 6, verse 5. Let's go a little bit further. Notice, just getting started, it's time to quit. Notice, he says, for if we've been planted together in the likeness of his death, we shall also be in the likeness of his resurrection. Knowing this, that our old man is crucified with him.
Yes, sir.
That the body of sin might be destroyed.
Amen.
That henceforth we should not serve sin. Now watch carefully. For he that is dead is freed from sin. Now, if we be dead with Christ, oh glory, we believe that we shall also live with him. So something's got to die,
amen,
and something's got to live.
Yes, sir.
Brother Adam said, death to the old man, life to the new. Yes. Paul said, you've got to die. So I want to ask you a question. If you die and you're dead, then who is it that takes residency in your body?
Come on.
If you're dead, who is it that takes up residency in here? The Spirit of Truth, of course. A portion of Jesus himself abides in the heart of the elect. It's not me down there and Jesus trying to correct me. I'm dead.
Amen.
Amen. Some people know the kid of the gun in their mind that it's them and Jesus down there warring it out. But when you get the Holy Ghost, I know Ben Norod's dead. I was there when they buried him.
Amen. That's right.
in that little river down in Ohio, 1991, when I received the baptism of the Holy Ghost and they buried me in the name. Do you think that was just a symbol? No, I was actually dead.
Amen.
Would you like to know what a lot of the problems of people in this message are today, my friends? Amen. They're just not dead yet.
Amen.
That's why they can argue with the Word, debate about this thing and that thing, and not have any sincerity in their heart to let Christ. It's a shame to me when we got to a place around this message where a man started preaching on Calvary and the blood. People go, can you do better than that? Maybe the Lord don't want him to do better than that.
Yeah, come on.
Maybe that's what God wants somebody to hear. Maybe there's one person that might need to hear it just in that way.
That's right.
But you know why we're so hard-hearted? Because we're not dead yet. That's why.
Come on.
It's all right, Brother Ben.
Well, praise the Lord. Notice in the sign of this time, remember, said, now we said last night, we've got so much of the mechanics and none of the dynamics. Now, my body is the mechanics, but my body will not operate without the dynamics or the Spirit. See, the Spirit operates my body or brings it in control. Like you go up to a funeral, you see a dead body laying there. Why isn't it animated? Why isn't it breathing? The dynamics of that body, the human spirit, is gone.
Yes, sir.
And then Jesus said, but ye Pharisees, you Sadducees, are like open sepulchres. What was he telling them? You've got mechanics, you have no dynamics.
Good preaching.
Oh, praise the Lord. Oh my, listen, he says, it's like an automobile with no gasoline in it. With no firing power. I like to shout when I read this quote. That goes to prove what's inside of my heart. I don't just have sitting power, staring power. I've got firing power.
Amen.
That's why when the Holy Ghost goes to moving, I rev up. You can hear my engine back in that back office going, vroom. Wrong. What? I don't have just mechanics. I've got dynamics.
Amen.
What about you? Some of y'all ain't started your car tonight.
Amen.
Some of y'all ain't turned the engine on. You're colder than February. Come on now, church.
Amen.
Thought them ice storms or something a little while back. You see, I see some way y'all acting tonight about this preaching. Well, what's the matter? You afraid? Warm that car up. It's got firepower.
Amen.
Don't worry about it. Turn the key over. Watch the Holy Ghost go in that.
Amen. That's right.
I'd be afraid to get too fanatical. You know, maybe the devil might hear it. Good. Good. Let him hear the roars of them engines. You know, don't tell him in the distance. He'll hear him revving up and he'll hear Mark 16, 16, 16, 16, 16, 16. Malachi 4, 4, 4, 4, 5, 5, 5, 5. Brother, a real car fanatic, they know the sound of the engine. They can tell you what it is before they see it.
Right.
I was down at Gatlinburg with a couple of friends of ours, and he was calling, this buddy of mine was calling this car and that car and that car. He knew the exact model, make, and what year they was even born in by the sound of the engine. That's the way I want it to be with the devil. That when he hears this bride, this Holy Ghost moving in my soul, that he can tell the sound of an invincible army before he ever sees the white of her eyeballs.
Amen.
Amen.
That's right.
But it's like having a car, everything perfect. Souped up in its place, every little revelation or doctrine or understanding intact. Now, nothing against doctrine or revelation. Now, I believe in it. I believe we've got to have one.
Sure.
But doctrine is not the only thing that we've got to have to get out of here.
Right.
If doctrine was the only thing, then these Pharisees had the edge on us. Because
right.
They had better doctrines than what some of you did when you got saved. If you got the Holy Ghost, He'll lead you to the right doctrine. But doctrine alone won't do it, just like gifts
right.
alone won't do it. Supernatural alone won't do it. It takes all of it coming together. Are you hearing me? Not just the mechanics of one little thing here or there, but it all must come together. Mechanics and dynamics.
Absolutely.
Amen.
Has to.
Oh, my. But I said the mechanics can be fixed up, cylinders, points, plugs, whatever more. But it's got to have a current. You've got to take those and put them together, he says. That's the way God is. It's got to get a believer with God to make a contact. Then something's going to happen, he says. Oh, yes. And rising the sun, Brother Bam says, now notice another fellow, he had quickening power. His name was Philip. He was so full of quickening power, he'd have a great big meeting down there in Samaria. Devils were being cast out, people baptized in the name of Jesus Christ, having a real meeting. And the Spirit, the dynamics, come down and said, leave this revival. What will all the ministers say? Don't make any difference what they say. He was full of quickening power.
Yeah.
And Brother Tony, if I was to hear a Macedonian call in the middle of the night, and you called me up here to this platform, you're standing on that, and said, where in the world's Brother Ben at? I felt led to go down and preach this other meeting. You probably think, what in the world is the matter with that guy? Don't he know how we plan this? Don't he know how everything's set up? I do. But if the Holy Ghost said, go, you tell me what I'm supposed to do.
Right.
Praise the Lord. Yeah. God calls a man away, but you see how carnal we can be about things.
Right, brother.
Wonder how the ministers must have looked at poor little old Philip. He's just an evangelist. Didn't have no church to really call himself a pastor or something like that. Just an evangelist. God said, leave this room. I'm going down yonder.
Right.
No doubt them preachers got together and said, it's not even polite what he does. You see what your carnal mind does? All mechanics.
Right.
No dynamics.
Right. That's right.
Because some people, friends, are more concerned with people pleasing than they are God pleasing.
That's right.
That's why ministers don't tell the truth and preach the gospel like they ought to. Woo, come on, preach to me now. That's why some of them will choke back on certain things. They'll see sin right out in the church and never say nothing about it.
Right.
You know why? They're people pleasers.
Yeah.
Oh, he said he had the gasoline, though. He was full of quickening power. He had a full tank, too, brother. The dynamics have fallen on him and said, go out to the desert. When he gets out there, he meets one eunuch. Listen. He leaves a revival where devils are being cast out. People are being baptized. It was probably the talk of the country.
Amen.
And he leaves this revival to go to one person.
Right.
Goes to prove to you that Jesus ain't looking for numbers.
Right.
He's looking for character.
Right.
Amen. Oh, thank you, Lord. Notice he took the message down there. He said, he obeyed God, and in obedience to God, he said, if you've never been baptized in the name of Jesus Christ, he said, do it! And watch that quickening and power pick you up then. Amen. God's provided a place of worship. Amen. Said, like Samuel said to the people, have ever told you in the name of the Lord, but what come to pass? He said, oh, you've told us what come to pass, but we want the king anyway. He said, that's the way it is today. People want to hold on to their petty ideas. They want to hold on to their creeds. He said, then talking about revival in our day, listen close. How can we have revival when it's all messed up the way that it is? Y'all come to this meeting this weekend because you said you want to have revival, right?
Amen.
You want to get in a revival meeting and be revived up. Well, listen to what Ben said, the antidote for it is. He said, how can we have it when it's messed up? Watered gasoline, there ain't nothing worse in the world than a watered down sermon.
Right.
If I'm wrong, don't just get up there in the pulpit and pat me on the head and say, now all of us make mistakes. If I got a devil to hold of me, you better point your finger in my face and shake me and say, get right with God.
Amen.
Amen.
Right.
You want to make me happy? Preach to me.
Amen.
You want to make me happy? Preach to me. Don't pat me on the head. Don't persuade me. Tell me what that word says.
Amen.
But what do we have? Watered down gas tanks.
Amen.
And they wonder when the Holy Spirit goes to move you, they got to prime and pump and kick, and they never do get the engine running.
That's right.
So what do? They get frustrated and say, God bless you, church. Take the name of Jesus with you.
Come on.
I don't blame them. I'd quit church too if that's all I got out of it.
Right.
Yeah. Come on now. If that's all church was about, you might as well stay home.
Yeah.
But if you're going to have revival, you got to get your gasoline pure.
Amen. That's right.
Can't have no creeds or petty ideas in it. Come on now, church.
Amen.
It's got to have an absolute 100% great octane. He said, watered down gasoline, all these detergents, all these modernistic things mixed into it. It's about the way some people are today. They think the message is too plain, just the way Brother Bam preached it, so they've got to go get some of their performance enhancers.
Right.
They've got to take their little bottle of performance enhancer. Hey, you going to preach to me? Leave your performance enhancer out of it.
Amen.
I don't need it souped up. I don't need it cleaned out. I don't need none of your help. Just give me the gasoline the way it was given.
Amen.
Amen, children.
Amen.
But what do we have today? We have all of these professional gasoline fixer salesmen.
Come on.
And they can all tell you how to get the right output. It's amazing to me that all you have to do is turn the key and step on the gas, and she'll do the job. You don't have to help it. Just make sure the tank is full.
Yeah. Amen.
We'll get to Brahms after a while. Stay with the Word.
Good.
The Message Why, Brother Ben says, now we know that a new birth is a mess. Any birth is a mess. I don't care if it's in a pig pen or a pink-decorated hospital room. I know that for a fact. Just got through seeing it. Any birth is a mess, and the new birth is nothing less. It'll make you boo-hoo. It'll make you cry. It'll make you carry on like you was in the awfulest mess you ever seen. But it'll do you good.
Amen.
Now, how in the world are some of y'all going to get this quote manifest in your life when you come to church and you barely blink your eyes?
Right.
Friend, if we're going to get down to what this Holy Ghost is, you're going to have to put a little emotion into what you believe.
Right.
You say, but it ain't an emotion. Say that whenever you slam your toe on that bedpost in the middle of the night.
Yeah.
Right. And you kick it good and hard. It's not an emotion. It's not an emotion. Go on about it.
That's right.
You know what you'll do? You'll start screaming and hollering out. Why? Because you felt something that gives you a reaction.
Amen.
Oh, glory. It makes me wonder, children, how in the world can this Holy Ghost visit us and we sit in church and just kind of take it all in? Shame on us. We're supposed to be repeated Pentecost.
Amen.
Come on now, I'm not talking about modern day 1906, but we are restored back to this original tongue-speaking Acts 2:38 bride.
Amen.
Amen.
And we've got about as much emotion as the Presbyterians do in this message. And we wonder why our kids would rather go out to rock concerts and everything else in the world. You know why? Because they can let themselves express themselves in emotions and such out there. But they come to the house of God, there's not an ounce of joy. People just sitting around waiting for another little watered down fill up. They just pull up to the gas siphon as it was and fill it up, please. Put some of that creed in there, some of your petty ideas. I think it's running a little bit better, you know, on that idea that you had the other week. And the car's so clogged up that it'll never speak the Word of God and go forward. We talk about being in a spoken word age and you can barely get people to say amen in church. Come on, get mad at me. I'm preaching the truth to you whether you like it or not.
Right.
Talk about speaking the Word of God, speaking storms out of existence, and we don't even have enough joy to raise our hands up and love the Lord.
Amen.
And yet we're supposed to be free, and yet we go home from church and we're full of so much doubt about who we are and where we come from.
Come on, brother.
The problem is, we've clogged the gas lines up.
Amen. Yeah.
Yeah.
Amen.
Notice, oh my. Jesus said, except the corn of wheat fall on the ground, die and bite alone. He said, but people don't want to die. Listen to this statement. Ever a quote fits this message, I don't know what fits it. Message people, that is. You want to be alive in the world. You want to be religious. You want to accept an intellectual conception of it. And when you do that, you're still dead in your sins and trespasses. But that's what they want. But to them, that's new birth. I can figure it out. I can understand it. So how do I know I have the Holy Ghost? Tell me how much that engine purrs whenever you hear that word read. She'll be an invincible army. That's the kind of rumbling that hell hears whenever you start your engines.
Come on.
Yes.
That's why the prophet said the weakest of Christians can cause all of hell to tremble. When they get down on their knees. You know why? Because they're not hearing an old carboned up tank that's full of sputter, sputter, sputter. But they're hearing a clear channel.
Amen.
Oh, glory to God. Oh, God. Clean out the channels tonight, Holy Ghost. Oh, my. He says, and that makes people act the way that they do. Because the spirit that is in them dominates. Listen to this. It dominates their life. Moses, a runaway prophet with an intellectual conception. So smart till he could teach the Egyptians. But when he tried to put over the program of God with his intellectual conception, it didn't work. And it won't work today. He said, that's right, we're going at it the wrong way. The church in whole. Trying to organize some kind of a program. You hear the revival is cooling off. It's down to just a smolder. What's the matter? We've got our man-made programs into it. And all they're concerned about today is joining church, bringing new members, building some big building, supporting some radio program or something like that. But Moses' intellectual conception failed. He said, just like the church would hold a day, the people go right on living, make a confession, put their name on a book, but it's just a letter. But it's not a letter. It's a birth. He said, get born. Get born. And then you'll belong up there. 1 Corinthians chapter 2, verse 4. Let me go just a bit further and I'll try to quit. 1 Corinthians chapter 2, verse 4. Paul said, my speech and my preaching was not with the enticing words of man's wisdom, but a demonstration of the Spirit and of power.
That's right.
Now, what is he trying to tell us? He's trying to tell us that in order to get this message across, I couldn't water it down with what I thought. Here you have a man in Romans chapter 7 speaking about a war going on in himself. And this very same man testifies that when he was a Pharisee, as touching the law, he was blameless. So he goes from being a blameless Pharisee, getting the Holy Ghost, now the good he would, he can't. What he wants to do, he doesn't.
Come on.
You know what it shows us? When a person really gets converted right, they don't see themselves as blameless and flawless. The word
right.
so illuminates
right.
that their own human reasoning
yes, sir.
Has to cast down at the side of the Holy Spirit.
Amen.
Amen.
That's right.
That's why, friends, when you really get this thing right, you won't be walking around with a proud, bloated chest. Brother Bram said the first thing God does when He gives you the Holy Ghost is He gives you humility.
Amen.
How much humility do you see in people in this message?
Right.
Walk around like a bloated codfish, telling you this, telling that. Bless God, I'll tell you one thing. Somebody gets mad at them, do they turn their cheek? No, they hold a grudge for 20 years.
Come on.
Praise the Lord, friends. I'm talking about the Spirit of truth. That your faith should not stand in the wisdom of men, but in the power of God. We speak wisdom among them that are perfect, yet not the wisdom of this world, nor the princes of this world that come to naught, but we speak the wisdom of God in the mystery. Even the hidden wisdom which God ordained before the world unto our glory, which none of the princes of this world knew. For had they have known it, they would not have crucified the Lord of glory.
That's right.
If they could have seen what it was all about, they wouldn't have crucified Him. And yet, He said, we know that thou art a teacher come from God. They knew it, but they didn't know it.
Right.
Friends, don't you realize that's where we are today?
Amen.
People said in church they know it, but they don't know it.
Right.
Are you saved? I believe God said a prophet. No, I asked you, were you saved?
Right.
I've asked them, do you got the Holy Ghost? I think. You haven't met Him if you can say you think.
Right.
If you ever meet Him in the right way, you won't be thinking. You'll know you've met Him when you meet Him.
Amen. Sure.
And as it is written, I love this scripture right here, watch. Now, here's another one of these verses where if we only take just a little snippet of it, you're going to miss the whole meaning, the greater meaning of the Spirit of truth. As it is written, I have not seen, ear hath not heard, neither has it entered in the heart of man the things which God hath prepared for them that love Him. Glory to God, what we got waiting on us is so great. Keep reading to the next part.
Right.
But, huh, oh boy. God hath revealed them unto us by His Spirit. For the Spirit searcheth all things. Notice how that word A-L-L keeps cropping up in this whole thing on the Spirit of truth.
Right.
You see, the true Spirit of God will not just search one area of your life or two areas of your life or a few areas of your life, but when the real Spirit of truth comes in, He'll keep searching and searching and searching until every area of your life is completely subject to the Holy Ghost.
Right.
He will not stop searching until you're right with God. That's why for some of you, and for myself as well, whenever you start feeling burdened, like you're just not where you need to be with the Lord, you ought to raise your hands and be so happy you can't stand it, because that's what's happening in your life when you feel that way.
Yeah.
That burden is coming from the source of the Holy Ghost searching out what's inside of you.
That's right.
We sing the song, Search Me, O God, see if there's any wicked way in me. He's looking.
Yeah.
He's searching. He's checking your attitude. He's checking the way you talk, the way you feel about people. Search me, Lord. But he doesn't just search some of the shallow things. Man, Jesus loves me, this I know. But he even searches these deep things over here, which means eventually you might have to actually listen to a little bit of doctrine in your lifetime. I know that about scare half of us to death, but this bride will have the right doctrine.
Yes, sir.
Praise the Lord. She'll have the right doctrine, the right revelation, or she can't go on the rapture, because the rapture itself is a revelation to her.
That's right. Amen. That's right.
1 Corinthians chapter 1, verse 18, for the preaching of the cross is to them that perish foolish, but unto us which are saved it is the power of God. Look at the difference. For it is written, I will destroy the wisdom of the wise and will bring to nothing the understanding of the prudent. Where is the wise? Where is the scribe? Where is the disputer of this world? Hath not God made foolish the wisdom of this world? For after that in the wisdom of God, the world by wisdom knew not God. Watch now. So it pleased God by the foolishness of preaching to save them that believe. So how did God confound smart people? He called us to preach, Brother Tony. That's how. What I'm doing right now is absolute foolishness to the world.
Right.
But to you that are saved, it's the power of God.
Amen.
Why? Because you that are saved, you recognize it is the working of the Spirit of truth leading you into all things.
Right.
And for those that don't believe in preachers, where does that put them? For those that don't want a pastor, those that don't want to be subject to any servant of God, that doesn't want to subject themselves to ministry, where does that put them then? It takes them completely outside this great city of God, and they cannot enter in to the revelation of God. If they're not willing to listen to a preacher preach it, they won't get it on their own. And what little bit they do get, they'll have it so messed up, it'll take a preacher to straighten it out. Lord, have mercy. I should have known coming to Arkansas, I should have brought my Amen tape with me. That way, whenever y'all are quiet, I could hit play. Rewind and play. Statue of perfect man. Let me hit this last place and let's quit. No man said, it looks good to the natural eye, but the knowledge of this world is foolishness to God. And it pleased God through the foolishness of preaching. Now listen to this statement. Real close. He said, to save those which are lost by divine office that he ordained in his church. So to save those which are lost by divine office that he ordained in his church, to do what? Build the church upon these spiritual qualities and not upon anything that pertains to the earth. Faith, virtue, knowledge, temperance, godliness, patience, love, divine love, all these great things, these qualities that make up the perfect man. How did they come to the believer? How does God build his church on the basis of that? He sends a dumb, ignorant, stupid, knot-headed old preacher to get you in meetings like this and scream at you, holler at you if he's that type of preacher, or glare at you if he's that type of preacher, or point at you if he's that type of preacher. We used to have a brother years ago, Billy Andrews, his eyeglasses would get dark, and the lights would hit it, and if you turn dark like sunglasses, he'd pull them glasses down and eyeball you, Brother Kenneth, eyeball to eyeball. He wouldn't say, come on somebody. His eyes told him to come on somebody.
Yeah.
This is foolish. But what is it? This is how you get to Holy Ghost.
Amen.
Through the channel of preaching. Through you receiving and hearing and understanding. Do you understand that the people that are going to make the rapture are the ones that are not just going to fall in love with Jesus, the Bible, and the message and so forth, but they're going to be people that fall in love with going to church.
Yes,
when you see people that don't want to come to the house of God, that they make every excuse in the world to stay out of it, I don't care what that person tells you, something's wrong with what they say they have.
Right, right. I agree.
Because you hear Brother Branham say it very plainly in the Word to the Church. When he was addressing the Branham Tabernacle, the beginning of Christ is the mystery, he makes it very, very plain. If God is in your heart, don't stay home.
Amen.
Because if he's in your heart, you can't wait.
Come on. Amen.
Do you understand why people don't have that in their heart anymore? There's two reasons for it. It's because, first of all, we've got a bunch of lazy preachers that won't feed the people with the tongue.
You got that right.
They won't tell them truth. They won't tell them what's right. They won't dig into the message of the hour. They've just got a little tiny sermonette preached from a preacherette. And it's making everybody sit there and get so sick of being in the house of God they can't stand. They don't want to waste their time with God. They don't want to waste their time. They make an effort to get to the house of God. That man should make an effort to feed them.
Amen.
If they can be feedable, he should try to feed them.
Exactly.
Come on now. That's why they get so discouraged, because there's nothing there. But on the other side of it, one reason people get discouraged too is because they may have a man that does that job. But to them, they don't understand that in order to receive the Spirit of truth, to get the Holy Ghost there so that He can expand all things to them, they've got to come to church. So to them, coming to church is occupying a pew, doing a duty, so that they can make God happy enough not to send them to hell. And dying on the pew.
That's what he said.
And don't even realize that when they're sitting here, when you're sitting here like this, you don't realize how ridiculous it is. I'm standing here about 10 feet from most of you. Most of y'all are going to shake my hands in a few minutes. But you're sitting here in these pews like this. You're watching me, listening to the words coming to my mouth. It's almost ridiculous. Why don't we just talk about baseball? Talk about what is it that makes this so special? It's because God had a way.
Right.
God said, I'm going to anoint those gifts of God to come down.
That's right.
And if they're in a little 4x4 room, when that Spirit of truth moves on that gift of God,
amen,
it's going to lead those children into higher realms and deeper depths.
Amen.
This is why that we come to the house of God. We do not come to God and God's house just to pacify Him, to keep Him from sinners to hell. We come because when He, the Spirit of truth, has come,
hey,
He will lead us into all things.
Yes, sir.
That's why I'm here tonight. You realize how ridiculous it is that I'm preaching to you, but I'm looking for God to talk to me too. Amen. I'm looking for Him to speak certain things to me while I'm up here preaching. And many times I'll be right in the middle of something. I think, good Lord, I'd like to write that down. Because I'm getting blessed just like you are.
Amen.
Amen.
That's right.
But when we go sit down at Brahms or the pizza place, wherever we'll go, it won't be like that, will it? We'll sit down there, we'll talk, we'll fellowship. I have sweat coming down the back of my neck. But it'll be different. You know why? Because here, we're working in God's program where He, the Spirit of truth, reveals Himself.
Amen.
Out there, we're just in fellowship. God always blesses it when it's in the right channel.
Amen. That's right.
Oh, my. Well, I'm hesitant to say it this way, but I hope you've learned something.
Amen.
Yes, brother.
I hope that this has helped you,
yes,
to understand a little bit more about what this Holy Ghost truly is.
Amen.
Now, I'm going to warn you. By tomorrow, you better have your seatbelt on when you come here tomorrow night, because I'm just warming up the engine tonight.
Glory to God.
Amen.
I'm telling you, I have an explosion from the Holy Ghost. The things I'm getting ready to lay on you folks, be
amen,
ready. Be ready and be hungry.
Amen.
Praise the Lord. Let's pray together. Heavenly Father, we so love You with all of our hearts. Lord Jesus, I want to thank You for what's been preached here tonight.
Yes.
Lord, I know in convention time like this, I try not to watch the clock too closely, but I just thank You, Father, that You let us have this small period of time to get into the deeper things of God. I pray that You'd help us with what we've heard tonight.
Yes.
That You'll make it real to us, Lord. That Your great Holy Spirit will just take it and sink it down into our hearts and spirits. Oh, God. Lord, don't let us be the type of people, Lord, that just go along intellectually in this thing. Lord, it's like having a car without any gasoline in it. Your prophet said, even that or the gasoline's all mixed up and clogged up. Lord, don't let that be my testimony. If there's something, some idea, some little thing that I've got in my mind or heart, Lord, help me get the channel clear. Lord God, I just want to thank You tonight for Your children. Lord, some of them sitting here tonight, I know that they've been blessed by the truth that they've heard. I know some of them are struggling with a few things. I saw it while I preached. I pray You'd help them, Lord. I know it's hard for them to swallow sometimes all these things that are being said. Because laity sheep, they're not like preachers. We get it. We understand it when it comes to us. A lot of times we don't even fight to understand it. It just comes and the gift opens it up and we get it. But Lord, sometimes sheep, they just struggle so much with these principles. I pray You'd help Your people, Lord. Help Your children tonight. Open up the revelation of their hearts that they can see deeper and clearer their position in the body of Christ. We love You tonight, Father. We thank You for the service and all that's been accomplished. I pray You'd heal the sick and afflicted. I pray that You would deal, Lord Jesus, with all the hearts in this building. If there be one tonight, Lord, that doesn't have the baptism of the Holy Ghost, Lord, may they see their great need of you before they quit these services the weekend. Before they even leave the building tonight, may you just minister unto them their great need of you. Grant it, Lord. Let it aggravate them, as it were. Lord, as my little country mama said when she first heard the message, Serpent Seed, she said it aggravated her for a year, she said, before the truth of it came by. Hallelujah.
That's good.
Oh, God, let it aggravate us, Lord, until we're right.
Amen.
Let it bother us, Lord. Let it just tear our hearts all to pieces until we get down to business. Lord, I realize preaching a subject like this, there's going to be people wondering, why is he even bringing such a thought? I've got the Holy Ghost, but Lord, let us check up. Let us check up to make sure. Let us make our calling and our election sure, Lord. Let us not go out and be deceived. Maybe, Lord, we haven't went far enough. May tonight be the night that you'll open up to us the greater understanding of where we are in the body of Christ. Help us, Lord. We love you, Father. We love you so much, Lord, in Jesus' name. Let's just raise our hands to him now. Let's just give him a little worship now. Thank you, Father. Thank you, Lord Jesus, as our brother gets a song ready. We love you, my Father. How we love you, Lord Jesus. We praise you, Lord God. We worship you tonight, Lamb of God. Oh, my, let's just stand to our feet now, if everyone will. Now, let's just stand. Let's just worship the Lord. Let's just sing together. Hallelujah. Praise you, Lord. Praise you, Lord God. Taste of where we start tomorrow. For they that are after the flesh do mind the things of the flesh.
Yep.
They after the spirit the things of the spirit. For to be carnally minded is death.
That's right.
You believe that's right?
Yep. Amen.
Carnally minded is death. Never going to produce anything. But to be spiritually minded is life and peace.
Yep. Exactly.
Glory to God. Because the carnal mind, Paul uses the word enmity, but it is an enemy.
That's right. Exactly what it is.
Against God.
Truth.
Don't you know what we do? Right. When we take our own carnal thoughts and try to apply it to this word right here. we make ourselves an enemy against God. It is not subject to the law of God, neither indeed can be. So then they that are in the flesh cannot please God. But you are not in the flesh. There's a man standing here in a flesh body. Paul said, but you're not in the flesh. What do you mean, Paul? He said, you're in the spirit. Amen. Glory to God. You're higher than just your carnal understanding. You've been taken into a deeper realm. You've been permitted to enter and see the kingdom of God. Oh my. If so be that the Spirit of God dwells in you. Now if any man have not the Spirit of Christ, he is none of his. Don't you understand? We must have this in our life. If we ever expect to make the rapture, we must have this in our life.
Amen.
If you don't have it, then everything you've ever tried to memorize or study will give you absolutely no good whatsoever. All you're doing is you're pouring gasoline on a hotter fire of hell. It's enmity. God help us. I don't want that to be my testimony. You? Do you? Friends, do you? You want this to be said of you? That your mind, you are so carnal and so this, that you're an enemy to God. I don't want that way, but it's Him. I want my life to be so sweet by His Holy Ghost that I don't have a thought coming to His Word.
That's what He said.
You know what the problem is today? We've got too many people with too many ideas that have too many thoughts about what this Word says
exactly.
Right here.
That's
Let's
it.
Just say it the way it says it and believe it the way it's wrote.
Amen.
We'll get a whole lot farther down the road just saying it like you said it than trying to spend all of our time interpreting what we think it ought to be. God help us. Except for the beginning, what a start to a revival. Oh, what a start to a revival. That's the way I feel about it. Because remember, the prophet of God said what a real revival is, getting all the trash out.
That's right.
And I don't know about you. I could come here tonight and preach about joy and salvation and this and that, but let's be honest with one another. One of the main areas that you and I need to really focus on more now than we've ever done is figuring out how to get this old thing right here subject to the Word of God.
Amen. That's right.
I need that more now than I've ever needed in my entire Christian
life. Exactly right.
Hey, amen. Oh my, sing something else. Let's just worship in just a few
Lord,
minutes.
Lord, prepare me.
Mighty God, let that be our
place.
Lord, that the bride is an absorbent for the Holy Spirit. I pray, God, every drop of rain that fell on us tonight, that we'll just become great absorbents for your Spirit. Tender us, sweetness, give us more of your presence, we pray. Glory to God.
Sanctuary, your presence.
Say tonight that you would like something to change this weekend.
Amen.
In your walk.
Oh, absolutely.
Amen.
True.
You know, we still have Laodicea to contend with.
Yeah.
You know, Laodicea wants to make you blind, miserable, poor, wretched, and wants to make you not know it. It's exactly what we have to contend with and overcome.
Come on.
And I know this bride message, it's right.
Yes,
we know it's right.
Yes.
But you know what? The prophet said there's a dynamics that's got to come.
Yes, sir.
And I'll tell you, I need it. I'll tell you that this message needs some dynamics.
Amen.
In there. The mechanics of the Word, and we need to stay immersed in the Word. We need to stay in there constantly.
Yep.
And believe God for everything that He's promised.
Amen.
We need to seek God and search out and draw from Him that dynamics that we know we have to have.
Yes, Lord.
You know, Brother Ben was talking, and my wife and I were sitting out on the porch the other night watching the storms go through, and we were watching the wind, and I said, you know, it just like the Scripture says, the wind, it comes from somewhere and it goes somewhere. You don't know where it comes from, and you don't know where it goes.
Right?
Yeah, we were watching, and I said, you know, I can't really tell. The trees are... And I said, that's exactly what the Bible says.
Yes.
And so is it that everyone that's of the Holy Ghost, or moved of the Holy Ghost, you're not going to know where they're coming from sometimes, and you're not going to know where they go. We don't have to understand intellectually everything. But one thing we do have to have is a personal relationship with Him every day.
Yes, sir.
Where we are in that closet with Him, and He speaks to us. It's more important for us. I told the church Sunday, we are more spirit.
Yes.
We are more word than we are flesh.
Yes.
Because our flesh will pass away, but what we are inside will live forever.
Yes.
And it's we really need to wake up every day. Our walk with God needs to be in a place
where
every day what's more important to us is to seek God and to find that voice of God in our lives every day before we walk out the door. And to not worry about all the physical things and all the things on the outside, but have that Holy Ghost speaking to us.
Yes, sir.
Something that, once again, we live that comes from the heart, not just an intellectual, well, you got to do this and you got to do that, but where, once again, it's a beating heart that does this. A real thing that really cares and is not bound by all the, you know, you understand what I'm saying?
Come on.
That's what it's got to come to.
Come on.
Now, saints, I want to change.
Yes, sir.
I want to come to that thing that I know God said we can have. And sure,
yes, sir.
The rapture is a revelation. We know that.
Right.
That revelation has got to be made flesh, just like anything else in the world has to be made flesh. We have to flesh this revelation of the rapture out.
Yeah.
And it's got to be something different than what we have right now. I'm saying a greater manifestation.
Yes.
Amen.
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 But it won't happen as long as we let Pharaoh keep us busy and keep us occupied elsewhere.
Right.
I'm going to tell you something.
Right.
There's a lot of people could be here tonight, but they're not for some reason.
Yeah, come on.
And I could pick any time that it's time to come to church, I could list 10 or 12 things that I could go do differently than come to the house of God. Satan will give you plenty.
Yeah.
Not just to come to the house of God, but Satan will give you plenty of reasons why not to surrender to Him, why to let the gossip continue, why to keep the wondering eyes and let them continue.
Yeah.
He gives you all kinds of reasons.
Preach now.
You see what I'm saying?
Yes, sir.
But there's got to be a decision that's made in our hearts.
Yes, sir.
That enough is enough. And we're going to break free from this generation and this world we live in now.
Praise
the Lord. Amen. And become that dynamic bride that Brother Branham told us would be there.
Let it be,
Lord. Amen. I believe it's coming. And I know I haven't arrived there yet. That's one thing that I don't know. I believe it's this way with every minister.
Come on.
But I listen to people. Message people that's not in the message. I listen to them and I watch them and they're not preparing.
Right.
They're not.
Come on.
There's a preparation that must be done.
Yes, sir.
Right. And we've got to change the way people can't even order their daily lives anymore.
Yeah.
They can't even tell you whether they can do this or not do this.
Yep.
See? Because it's all in their self and all in the outwards, and it's nothing Holy Spirit
anymore. Oh, yeah.
Come on, Lord.
We don't seek God to find His mind and His will for our lives every day. And because of that, we can still say things we shouldn't say, do things we shouldn't do. You understand what I'm saying?
Yes, sir.
Because you know what? If you have an inspiration to say something that you know is going to make somebody mad or aggravate them or might hurt their feelings, and you say it anyway, I doubt that experience that you're trying to put out there. That doesn't come from the Holy Ghost. You understand? A minister has the job to rebuke with the word and that sort of thing, but I'm talking about in your daily walk. You're going to put something on Facebook that you know is going to aggravate, and you go ahead and do it anyway. You see what I'm saying?
Right.
There's a level of obedience that we've got to come to.
Yes,
and you know what? Obedience is always a very good indication of how much faith we have in the Word of God.
Right.
Is that right?
Oh, my.
So I think this evening has started out really good for us.
Amen.
But it won't do us any good if we don't make up our mind to say, Lord, you know what? I want you to strip me down. Anything that's in the way tonight. Anything that's there. And don't try and say there's not, because we know there is, see? Take those things away and make me a different person.
Yes, Lord.
Amen? And I'm saying maybe when I say that, you say, well, you make us all feel like none of us have an experience with God. I'm telling you that the Holy Ghost will always challenge you.
Amen.
When it comes rapture morning, the Holy Spirit will still be challenging you to live higher, to surrender more, walk closer. It'll always be that way. And that's what I'm talking about. I don't want to make you think that you've not attained anything in the Lord. That's not what I'm saying. But I know one thing. We haven't arrived just right yet. See? I tell you what. God don't speak to a busy, busy mind.
That's right.
You got to stop.
Yes, sir.
And I'll tell you, and I know the ministers agree with this, just get quiet for a while, and that Holy Ghost will start speaking to you about what's a matter and what needs to be addressed and what needs to be in your own life, in your family, in your church. He does it all the time. Every day, all day long. Brother Daniel, isn't that right? All the time, constantly, the Holy Spirit dealing with you. And you know what? I don't believe that's just a lot for a preacher. I believe it should be that way for every one of you.
Yes, sir.
Every day, every hour for that. Why? Because that's who bought you. He bought you by that price. And that's who you are. You're not out here anymore in yourself. You see what I'm saying? It's that Holy Ghost that's in you.
Yes, sir.
That's what we need to give more attention to. Amen. And let Him come down and... And I'll end by saying this, like Brother Brandon said, them disciples in the early church, they didn't know to do anything except what the Holy Ghost said to them. That's all they knew to act out.
That's good, though.
So whatever we're going to do tomorrow, whatever we're going to do the next day, it ought to be that we don't know anything except what the Holy Ghost tells us to do.
Yes.
And it'll be according to His Word.
Yes,
obviously.
Sir.
Amen. Yeah. And so how many is going to agree? We're going to let the Lord take care of this situation.
Amen.
By the end of this weekend, we're going to have a closer walk. And we're going to fight. We're going to have some things in order that we don't have in order. Amen. That's what we want. Amen. Brother Tim, if you'll get a song for us to dismiss, I'm going to just bow our hearts in prayer just for a moment. Lord Jesus, we thank you for your word, your message you sent to us tonight. Lord, I believe it's a good place to start in this weekend. God, we have arranged these meetings, Lord, meaning, Lord, that it be pleasing to you. And it is our desire, Lord, to create a special time, a special weekend, Lord, that we would invite other churches and other saints that we are in fellowship with, Lord, that we could all come together at a special time, Lord, to meet you and see, Lord, what you would have for us and what you would pour out into our hearts together, that we could rejoice together in your presence.
Yes, Lord.
And God, that's why we've set aside this time. And we ask God tonight that what you have started tonight, Lord, that you would continue to let it move tomorrow and throughout the rest of the weekend, Lord God, that when it would be finished this weekend, we could look back and know the chains had been broken, Lord, and that there were our walks, Lord, with you have been made more perfect and more sure. And Lord, that our faith would rise to a higher level after this weekend. We pray, God, that you would give us the victories that we need over the enemies that we have. And Lord, that we come out on top as you've always made your people.
Yes, Lord.
We ask, God, that you bless the saints before they, as we get ready to go, we pray that you let them go safely, get plenty of rest tonight, Lord. And may you meet with us tomorrow as we come together around your word. We ask it in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. God bless you, saints. It's been good to be in the house of the Lord tonight. And before we go, I just want to say a few words about tomorrow. We know the scripture says all things work together for the good, right? We would normally have planned tomorrow to be down on the river. But that wouldn't work right now, right?
Not good.
So even in months back and planning to go to a different place, the hand of the Lord was in it. And so we last year went to Western Citizen for breakfast. You have to contend with the crowds and the time constraints and all that sort of thing. I didn't want to deal with that again. And then going to the park, you have to deal with whoever else is going to be there. And this year, you have to deal with the water. And so I just, we've got a place out there. It's just not too far from my house. If you go out 282 Highway toward Broody, instead of turning off of 282 on the Bond Special, like coming to my house, you just go ahead and go to the right, like you're going to go out to Rudy, and it's not even a half a mile, maybe around there. It's on the left. You'll see a big sign there that says Oaks Manor. Just pull up their winding driveway, stay to the right to go to the biggest building that's there, and we'll have breakfast. Brother Claude's going to minister the word to us. We'll have lunch there. We plan on having some time of singing, some time of fellowship. There will be some activities that we have a little spot of time, and we're going to do something with the little ones. Even if it's raining outside, we got enough room inside that we can do everything inside. So breakfast is provided, lunch is provided, and we know the Lord has provided the word for us too.
Amen.
So come and be involved.
What time does the breakfast start?
The breakfast starts at 9. Okay. I have some papers back there on the table there that has a schedule for everything tomorrow. We'll try to stay with that schedule, but, you know, we'll just let the Lord modify that if he needs to. But it starts at 9 a.m., and I can give you the address of the place if you want to punch it in your GPS or anything like that. We can certainly tell you how to get there. It's 3909 Highway 282. We'll get you there if you put it in there. So, but most of you know how to get past my house. You'll see it on the left as you go there. Amen. So, everybody happy?
Amen.
So, how many definitely will be there tomorrow morning for breakfast? Amen. Some of my own people's not even raising their hands. Okay. What about lunch? Same ones? Okay. Well, all right. And I think there's some other people that will be coming too besides those that are here tonight. But anyway, we wanted to share this special time around the Word with you, and we're planning on having plenty of fellowship tomorrow. So I just want to say God bless you. Thank you for coming tonight. And we dismissed in the name of the Lord.
If they say,